The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
It's 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA. WTMA.com. I need you to do me a favor. Somebody give me a call. 556-1250. That's 556-1250. We had a major power surge on Friday that kind of messed up our phone systems. If you would, just give us a call and let us know that our phones are working this morning. 556-1250. And see if those happen. Came in, they were lit up like a Christmas tree this morning. All right, so Mayor John Tecklenburg is saying that he and several other mayors and college presidents throughout the country are going to be sticking with the Paris Accord agreement. Not that they've got anything to do with it, mind you, but they want to make sure that they get their, basically it's a big publicity stunt to get their name out there to make sure that, you know, everybody is on board with this and that we spend trillions of dollars of taxpayer money throughout the years to try to reduce the Earth's temperature 1% of 2 degrees. That is 0.02 degrees. They want to reduce trillions of dollars that the United States is going to pay over the Paris Accord Agreement during its lifetime. For what? For nothing. However, you get folks like China and India and places like that, really big polluters on the global scale that are going to be taking that money, and they are increasing their carbon footprint while we are one of the leaders in the world in reducing carbon emissions. Now, I thought Governor Nikki Haley, Ambassador Nikki Haley, UN Ambassador, I thought it was a great point that she made the other day when she said, we don't need China and India telling us how to reduce carbon emissions. We are doing it quite well ourselves, and a lot of that is becoming because of fracking. And I said the other day that they've got, the liberals got to be absolutely losing their minds because they were against fracking, but now we're seeing that our carbon emissions are extremely low and getting lower by the day. So they want, but they still want us to pay for it. So Mayor Tecklenburg got together with about five or six people the other day holding up signs and said he was going to continue with the Paris Accord agreement. And one of the things they talk about is sea level rise. Well, the sea levels are rising, and they estimate, now this is not from any observable information that we have. This is all coming from computer models. You put the information in, the computer spits it out. You put in the wrong information, the computer spits out the wrong information. You put in the accurate data, everything should work fine as long as everything is programmed well. So they look at Charleston. Look at all the flooding we've had here in Charleston as of late. Let me see. This is a story from the city paper. Let's see. They want to limit the temperature increase to 1.5 degrees Celsius or 2.7 degrees Fahrenheit above pre-industrial levels like we have. How accurate do you think thermometers were pre-industrial revolution? Do you, anybody want to guess at the accuracy of a, I mean, I've got a thermometer in my car, and I've got a thermometer on my phone, and I've got a thermometer here at the station, and each and every one of them reads a different temperature every single day. Every single day it's different. You can't even go with the networks and get the same temperature. You go on Wonderground, Weather Underground, and look from neighborhood to neighborhood. You got to have two neighborhoods right next to each other, and there'll be 2-3 degrees difference in their temperatures. So I'm just kind of wondering about the accuracy of the pre-industrial revolution thermometers that they had back there. Anyway, they go back, then they start talking about the flooding that we've had. Now, some of you old timers remember the old city market, right? You remember that. It was back in 2010. When they started to make over the Charleston City Market. That got underway. It was completed in 2011. They spent $5.5 million on that project to get the City Market refurbished. But you guys remember, you old-timers remember the City Market. And do you remember the watermark that used to be on the side of the City Market. It would be like, you know, have that little mold line across it. Flooding's been going on here in Charleston since, I don't know, since it was Charlestown. Since it was Charlestown. And there's, I mean, I granted it's 2017, we ought to, and I think we have done a lot to help it. We're still not where we need to be. But they go on in the city paper to say that over the past 50 years, the number of days during which Charlestonians experienced tidal flooding increased almost tenfold. This is over the past 50 years. Almost tenfold from 4 to 38 days, based on an estimated 2.5-foot increase in sea level rise over the next 50 years, the number of tidal flood days could reach 180 days a year by 2045. Unfortunately, not a lot of us are going to be around in 50 years to go, dang, you were right. Look at that. Well, they were right about that. Look at them. So I think it's a little bit of alarmist. There's actually data, I mean, actual surface data that shows that the sea levels haven't risen in over a decade. In over a decade. And if it has, then it's only been like 3 millimeters. But yet folks like Mayor Tecklenburg and others want us to, you know, throw trillions of dollars at a problem that we don't even know really exists right now.
Now, the TMA Morning Show continues with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 7:21, 21 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. As you are filling out your insurance premium check, you might notice that is going to be going up soon. South Carolina drivers are getting in more wrecks these days, apparently, and the damage is getting more expensive to repair. And the auto insurers are starting to pass that along to you. Yep, that's right. Auto premiums are jumping across the country thanks to a robust economy, they say, and it's put more drivers on the road. And there's an influx of new technology that made, well, cars more expensive to fix. I mean, you got to, you know, if you get into a fender bender and your front fender is crashed in, then they've got not only to replace the fender, they got to replace the airbag sensors, they got to replace the airbag. So it all adds up, and they are passing the savings along to you. Our 10 largest auto insurers increased their premiums an average of 8.9% last year. That, according to the South Carolina Department of Insurance, that's more than double the rate of change that they recorded back in 2015. And that comes as the gap between what carriers take in and what they pay out has widened. In 2015, insurers paid about $1.11 million in claims for every dollar they collected in premium. So, hey, that's a lot of money. That's a, you know, they're paying out $1.11 for every dollar that they bring in. That's not a very good business model. They say that our loss experience has not been favorable for 7 years, according to Roselle Gadsden, who is a spokesman for State Farm, the largest auto insurer here in South Carolina. They raise premiums an average of 12% to better cover expected claims costs. So when you are, like I said, getting ready to write that auto, boy, I tell you what, it's expensive, though. It is, wow, it's expensive. To any type of insurance is expensive these days, any type. So your car insurance going to be going up because more of you are getting into wrecks here in South Carolina. And it's not really the big wrecks. It's not, you know, the where your car is totaled out. It's the little, like I said, the little dingers that you get into with all the technology in the cars these days. You got to get back there. And because if somebody were to hit you and you got to get your rear view camera, you got to get that fixed and all that. So that is a mess. That is a mess. So more money going out of your pocket. But it just seems like everything goes up but our pay, doesn't it? It really does. It seems like everything is getting more expensive except for what you're bringing home. Everybody wants a little bit of piece of yo pie.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 7:40, 20 minutes until 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Glad to have you along with us. On your Wednesday morning, we do have a good chance of rain coming up today, and you are probably going to be experiencing more flooding downtown in the usual areas. Shouldn't be any surprise to you, but just be careful. We saw pictures yesterday of people driving around barricades downtown Charleston. You know, those barricades are up there for a reason. I mean, they weren't just driving down the street and say, I think I'll just leave this barricade here for no reason whatsoever. It didn't just fall off the truck and land upright. It's there for a reason, and that reason is to protect you and your vehicle, because they don't want to have to come get your rear end out of a flooded street, because that requires manpower. So just don't go around. I swear, these people that drive around barricades are crazy. Now, I got caught over on Rutledge, I think it was week before last. There wasn't a barricade, and I was going down Rutledge, and everything was great. And then all of a sudden, holy cow, the water is up to the doors of my car. And I could actually feel the car being moved back and forth, swaying back and forth with the water there. So be careful. Even if the roads aren't barricaded, be very careful if it's going to be flooding today. Coming up at 9:06, we're going to be talking with Doug Giles about this Reality Lee Winner. She was the woman that was arrested for sharing top secret documents. And I don't even know if is that even illegal anymore to share top secret? I mean, you can have a server, your own private server, and you can have top secret documents on that, right? That was proven by James Comey. That's okay. They won't prosecute you for that. You can send those documents to another person like Huma Abedin and have her husband, who doesn't have security clearance, have him print them out. And that's not even really a big deal anymore, is it? You can, you can share secret documents. You can unmask private American citizens illegally, and that's not a problem. You can spy on journalists. You can spy on Americans. So this whole thing about top secret documents, I don't even think it's an issue anymore. I think we're well beyond that here in this country. Nothing is top secret. Nothing is private. We don't have to worry about any of that. But the mother of Reality Lee Winner, well, she's terrified, and she says her daughter is too.
What she told me was that she was terrified. She was terrified of the situation, and she did tell me also that she was afraid she was going to disappear, that they were going to make her disappear.
Ah, so she told you what she did. Did she now? She told you that she had shared classified documents, and I think I read somewhere that she had contacted her mother and said she might have to go away for a while. Yeah, about 10 years, hopefully. You'll be going away. And she wanted her mom to take care of her pets. I think she had a cat or a bird or a goldfish or something that she was worried about. So Reality Winner is afraid that she's good. I'm just kind of wondering how that could have all been prevented. How could you not have to worry about, I got an idea. Maybe you don't share top secret government documents. That would take that off the table. You worrying about your future if you don't do things like that. That's just the way I think. I don't know about you guys, but I always go through life like my day is planned around initially not going to jail. That's where I really, that's the main focus of my day a lot of days. You know, I wake up and go, all right, today is, you know, it's Wednesday. Let's not go to jail, Charlie. Let's not do anything that is going to land you in prison. Okay. All right, so now we can get up, brush our teeth, and get ready for work. Now that we've got that established, we can do that. But some people, they don't have that thought process going on with them. They wake up and they go, you know what? I hate Donald Trump so much that I will risk going to jail by sharing top secret documents. That sounds like a good idea. I will go do some. I will go steal. How much were those Gucci bags that were stolen from the Gucci store downtown? Was that $100,000 worth of purses? 10 bags at $10,000 a piece?
It was a lot of money.
That is unbelievable. Wouldn't you love to be able to go into a Gucci store and just buy a $10,000 purse and not even think about it? Because you know those people that are doing it, they don't even think about it. They go, oh, $10,000, let's get that.
What a deal.
What a deal. Well, is this on sale? Oh, it's $9,995? I'll take it. No, don't even wrap it up. I'll just carry it out.
WTMA. It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Good morning. It's 7:50, 10 minutes until 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA. WTMA.com on your Wednesday morning. We do have a chance of some thunderstorms and heavy rain today, just like we had yesterday. So basically, take what happened yesterday and replay it again today. This will be a third day that we've had pretty much a lot of rain. So I tell you what, I don't know if you guys got a chance to watch Tucker Carlson last night, but he had this woman on named Lisa Durden, and there was apparently a Memorial Day celebration that Black Lives Matter had, and they excluded white people in this. And Tucker was a little confused about this and kept trying to ask her if that was a racist thing. And let me just play you a little bit of what of what happened between Tucker, because this woman, I don't know, man, she was completely off the rails last night.
I hope you're not speaking for anyone else. I hope there aren't a lot of people
in
this country
who agree with you. Well, my name is Lisa Durden. I'm speaking for Lisa Durden.
I just hope there aren't people watching who agree with you, because what you're saying is so hostile and separatist and crazy. It's such a basic violation of what I thought we all agreed on, which is you don't attack people for things they can't control, namely their race.
It's not an attack. I'm stating the facts. People give weddings where they exclude children. It doesn't mean they don't like children. They don't know if your kids are going to be monsters and those kids are going to be well behaved.
No,
so in that same vein, Black Lives Matter decided to have one day where they didn't want white folks who were going to be off the rails. They don't know if you're going to be the ones behaved and for them or the ones who are there against them. So
let me ask you a question.
All right, so that's enough of that woman. So let's just imagine that you had and do you feel like things are changing in this country? Because I certainly do. Let's just imagine that a group had a Memorial Day service, and it was just for white people, because we don't know how you black folks are going to act when you show up. We don't know if you are pro-white people or if you're anti-white. We don't know if you're going to show out when you show up. Could you imagine what Black Lives Matter would say about something like that? They would absolutely lose their minds, and rightfully so. So I thought what was going on in the 60s, I thought we were trying to get beyond that. I thought the whole civil rights movement meant that we went beyond that. But now we're seeing self-segregation in a lot of the communities. I mean, you had Harvard, they had their all African American graduation. So when is that going to be here? When is the College of Charleston going to have a graduation ceremony for only African Americans? Well, wait a minute. You're doing it for African Americans. Now you're going to have to do it for Native Americans. We're going to have our own graduation. Well, you know what? I'm Hispanic. I'm going to have my own graduation. Yeah, but I'm Central American Hispanic. We're going to have our own graduation. Well, I'm South American Hispanic. I'm going to have to. You see where we're headed with this? We're headed towards segregation. Again, we're going right back to where we were. And this time, it's not the white folks doing it. It's the minorities that are doing it. So let me ask you something. This thing that happened in North Charleston at that little convenience store where they alleged that this clerk kicked this 12-year-old boy. Yesterday we played this. This is from Elder Johnson. Let's see. Here's what he had to say.
These stores that lands within the poor community have to realize that we are nations of laws. They cannot be the judge and the jury, especially a 12-year-old boy. And we hope that authority look at this case here and prosecute whoever, the young man that touched this 12-year-old boy, prosecute him to the fullest.
All right, now you remember a couple of months ago, here's what Elder Johnson said.
We're not going to allow foreigners coming in this country treating people like this. In the 10-mile radius, we have 34 Arabs are far stores within our community.
All right, so the Arabs they're the problem there in the community. So let me ask something. Who's the minority in that community? If you've got a community that is primarily African American, and then you've got some Arabs, as Elder Johnson says, and they're in the community, who are the actual minorities in that community? Would it be the African Americans, or would it be the quote unquote Arabs? So let's just imagine. And we don't know if these folks are American citizens. They may be American citizens. They may be, you know, they may be here on a visa or what have you. So let's just imagine you've got the same thing being said about a white community, and there was an African American store in a white community, and a white spokesperson got up and said, "Listen, we got too many of these." These African American stores in this community. We got too much. I mean, all hell would break loose, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? So where is the racism there? Why is nobody calling Elder Johnson? Why is he still with the National Action Network? Why is he still there? Well, we don't agree with what Elder Johnson said. Well, show us how much you disagree with what he said. Remove him. But he's not going to be touched. He's not going to be touched. And these people like this Lisa Durden can get up there and make these outrageous claims comparing this to you not wanting kids at a wedding. That, yeah, oh, okay. Well, that makes no sense at all, Lisa Durden. So it's we are going way back in time. We're going way back in time. And it's just going to get worse because these people are getting louder and louder and louder and louder. Where now you've got, you know, that Evergreen College, all of these, you know, up there at Mizzou. They have lost a tremendous amount of people that are enrolling at Missouri because of Black Lives Matter on campus. People don't want to be around that. People don't want to be around a divisive community. People don't want to be around a situation where they are considered the problem. Even though all you're doing, you're going to college, you're minding your own business, you're going to school and you're studying, but all of a sudden you get blamed for things like white privilege, and you get blamed for slavery, and you get blamed for yada, 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 and every single ill of the world. Even this woman, Reality Lee Winner, she said white people are the real terrorists in the world. Being white is the real terrorism. That's what she said. So the real racism that is going on these days is racism against white people. We have so got to get past this mess if we're going to all get along. And we have to do it. We have got to do it or we are doomed. But yet you get people like Lisa Durden and the folks at Evergreen, the folks at Mizzou. You know, the Black Lives Matter was having a rally, and a student journalist tried to get in there and interview some people, and no, it's a safe space. These people need a safe space. Oh, on a college that gets federal government money? Is that what that's where? I didn't know that's the way things worked in this country, but apparently we are headed there, aren't we?
.com.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning, it's 8:10. 10 minutes past 8 o'clock on WTMA, WTMA.com. Glad to have you along with us on this Wednesday morning. We do expect a lot of rain today. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Let's see here. Public education getting a little bit of a big boost in funding because of a new budget here in South Carolina. Lawmakers in the House and Senate voted yesterday to boost funding for K-12 schools by $140 million over last year's spending plan. Also covers $68 million in Hurricane Matthew cleanup cost and $150 million for the state's underfunded pension system. And that pension system, they're going to have to do a lot more than just throwing money at it. They got to have a whole lot more accountability for that. The education spending, that includes $28.9 million for school buses, new school buses, $60 million to increase the state's per pupil funding to $2,425 per student. Now, I'm trying to see here. I'm trying to find out exactly how much we are spending per student right now. And from what I was hearing, we pay a little over $10,000 a year per student here in South Carolina. So they're going to be increasing that even more so. And we have seen, now I hopefully, this money is actually going to be going towards teaching the students here in South Carolina, because we've seen over the years, as far as employment is concerned, the administration jobs with the school systems, administration jobs have gone up and up and up and up and up and up and up. And spending has gone up and up and up and up and up and up. However, the actual teaching positions, which I think is what we need to be concentrating on, that has remained relatively stagnant throughout the years. I mean, it goes up, it fluctuates, but we keep adding and throwing money at this problem by adding more administrators. Boy, I tell you what, when you see this problem in business all the time, a company is doing fairly well, so they say, well, we need to do better. We need to increase our productivity. Let's hire more managers. Let's hire more executive personnel. When really what they ought to be doing is going in and hiring the people that are actually doing the job. And companies like that, once they get top heavy, what happens when something's top heavy? It usually collapses on itself, right? So you've got to make sure that the people that are actually touching the students, the hands-on teachers, are the ones that we have the most of. But we keep seeing administrations getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, I don't know why. Anyway, Jerita Postawaite, Charleston County School Superintendent, has apologized. She said she didn't do a very good job. Didn't do a very good job with explaining the principal reassignments that happened in the Charleston County School District. And of course, everybody was very upset with the superintendent over that. But she says she gave herself an F on this. Gave herself an F on this, and you've got to imagine that certainly Charleston County could have done a lot better, because the people were complaining about it. The parents were complaining about it. The teachers were complaining about it. The folks that worked in the individual schools, they were complaining about it. So they should have said, hold on, we got to throw some water on this fire right now and make sure that we get out there in front of the people and listen to everything they have to say, because ultimately it's the parents, the people that have the kids in the schools, they're the ones that you really need to be accountable to. So she gave herself an F, a failing grade for that. And hopefully she will. Now, a lot of people are out there, calling for her to step down and all of that. I don't think that needs to be. We don't need to be changing horses midstream, but they have certainly got to do a lot better job in getting their message out there so that you can diffuse some of this rancor that's going on with a lot of people as far as these reassignments of principals are concerned.
WTMA. Now, here's more of the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 21 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Coming up at 8:40 this morning, I'm going to be talking with Bob Constantini about Comey's testimony coming up tomorrow and the reports that Jeff Sessions offered to quit as Attorney General. Now, why would he do that? Because these rumors that are coming out of the White House are just coming left and right. They say that President Trump just flew into a tirade. How many times do you hear that Obama went into a tirade? How many times did you see on the internet or from an actual news organization that Hillary Clinton flew into a tirade? You never heard that, right? You know, of course not. But because it's Donald Trump, he goes into a tirade. against Jeff Sessions because Jeff Sessions recused himself from the Russian investigation. However, when Jeff Sessions recused himself from the Russian investigation, guess who he didn't tell? Anybody? Yeah, he didn't tell the president that he was going to do it. He didn't tell anybody in the White House that he was going to recuse himself. So, you know what? If I'm president and my attorney general, the guy that I nominated, the guy that works for me in my administration, and he all of a sudden comes up and makes a decision like that, well, yeah, I'd probably be pretty upset, too. Pretty upset, too. So we'll talk with Bob Constantini about that coming up 8:40 this morning. Also, we're going to be talking with Doug Giles about this wonderful reality Lee winner who leaked that information. Just huge Trump hater, even said that she would fight against the United States and still has a security clearance or had a security clearance. Top secret security clearance, highest level. So, she says she would fight against the United States. She would side against the United States, but I guess you still get to keep. Don't they check on these people at all? I don't know. Maybe there's just too many to keep track of. You know, it's kind of like herding kittens or something like that. So we'll talk with Doug Giles about that this morning. And also we are trying to get in touch with some folks with one of our Columbia sister stations to talk about the University of South Carolina and their baseball program. Their head coach stepping down, so we'll give you some more details on that. Right now, the rain is going to be falling today. We could have a chance of some pretty severe thunderstorms coming up. Now, it shouldn't affect you too much this morning. However, tonight, at around a little after 7 o'clock tonight, the tides are going to roll in to about 7.28 feet, and that means we're going to get some saltwater intrusion downtown, meaning you definitely don't want to be driving through that mess. Because that will absolutely corrode your car like crazy. Salt water is not very good when mixed with steel. So be aware of that. That's going to be happening this afternoon and this evening. Again, that tide going to be in right at 7 o'clock tonight. Maybe a little after. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Priorities, USA. They're a PAC. They're a Democrat PAC. They announced yesterday it's going to ramp up hiring ahead of the 2018 midterm elections. Folks, the 2018 midterm elections are going to be a dog fight. You think you have seen nasty, horrible, divisive politics up until now? Let me tell you, you ain't seen nothing yet. The group has raised about $200 million in support. They raised and spent over $200 million in support of, this is a great investment here, in support of Hillary Clinton and her election during the 2016 election. Priorities USA announced that former Clinton spokesman Josh Schwerin would head up the communications department, and they're going to be really pushing their Democrat candidates all over the country during the midterm. So it's going to get ugly out there. There's going to be a lot of money raised. Now, right now, because remember, we just found out Hillary was speaking at some conference a couple of days ago. She said that the Democrat Party was broke. Remember that? That came out of her mouth. She said, I didn't find it. They didn't help me. Boy, tell you what, she just threw them completely under the bus. They didn't help me at all. They didn't have an infrastructure. They didn't have a database. They didn't. Well, maybe it was in a bathroom server. I don't know. But they didn't have this. They're broke. They didn't have any money. Yada, yada, yada. So the Democrats might be financially in some trouble, whereas we're hearing that the Republicans are raising record amounts of money. Oh, boy, I tell you what, I hope so. You think you've seen money spent before now? No, 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 no. And there was a debate last night with the Georgia 6th District with their elections that they're holding. And this guy, Ossoff, was in this debate. He's the Democrat candidate. And he was asked last night, it was kind of funny because his opponent, she was asking him, Kate Handel, asked him about, hey, you know, you're running for the 6th District. Why is it you don't live in the 6th District? And to that, Ossoff had No response whatsoever. So it is going to get ugly in the 6th District as they are going to be going to the polls coming up. When are they going? Trying to find the date of this, but it'll be very soon when they start facing off. So it's going to be a nasty 2018. It really is. And I think the Democrats are even looking beyond 2018 and looking forward to 2020 when they're going to be put. Who is it going to be? Joe Biden? Well, apparently Joe Biden is kind of making little hints out there that he's going to be running for president. Oh, say it is so, Joe. Say it is so. I would love to see Donald Trump run against Joe Biden. That would be very interesting. All right. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. President Trump said yesterday he's confident that the Senate is going to pass a health care bill to replace Obamacare by the end of the summer. He said the Senate, I'm sure, will follow suit to get a bill across the finish line this summer. That will be great health care for Americans. I certainly hope so. Back on May 4th, the American Health Care Act was passed by the House, but some folks in the Senate are saying, no, this thing was dead on arrival. And one of those folks was our very own Lindsey Graham. Of course, you know, John McCain was against it and all of that. So we'll see. Hopefully we can get something passed by the summer. I'm not thinking that's going to happen, but it possibly could be. You never know.
1250 WTMA. The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 8:40 at the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Let's talk with Bob Constantini. He is calling in from Washington, D.C. this morning. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Good morning. It's another morning of presidential tweets with breaking news.
That's right. We're hearing that the president has picked a new nominee FBI. For head of the FBI, Christopher Wray. What do we know about him?
Well, what we know is that he was an assistant attorney general with significant criminal prosecution experience in the George W. Bush administration, and the president says he has impeccable credentials. According to the president's tweet this morning, he was in a private law firm, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie's lawyer, looking out for Christie's interest during the recent Bridgegate trial, where a Christie aide was convicted of deliberately choking off traffic for political retribution. But the interesting thing with Wray is that because he is would come into the FBI, the matter about the Russia investigation has been turned over to the special prosecutor, the former FBI director, Robert Mueller. So Wray would have to have a hands-off attitude about that, and he might be perfectly happy to have that.
Yeah. Now, of course, this happening the day before James Comey is scheduled to testify before Congress. A lot of people are saying he's going to stop short of saying that the president obstructed justice.
Yeah, people close to Comey who've been, I guess, whispering out there dribs and drabs of what he is expected to say is that he will, stop short, as you say, of saying the president deliberately wanted him or threatened him with regards to the Flynn investigation. In their conversation the day after Flynn was fired, where Comey supposedly took contemporaneous notes about the matter, saying the president wanted him to let it go regarding Flynn, but perhaps it'll be up to the listener in a lot of ways tomorrow to figure out whether the president was pressuring him with the thought of his job on the line.
Well, even Comey testified earlier this year that he had never been pressured to, stop an investigation.
That's correct. And what we've heard of him previously also is that there was no necessarily evidence of collusion between the Russian operatives and the Trump campaign, no direct evidence. And that's, of course, still being investigated. What he is supposed to contradict the president on is that when the president, even in the letter where he fired Comey, said he appreciated it three times that Comey had told him he's not under investigation. Comey is apparently, according to these leaks, going to say that that isn't necessarily so. He did not necessarily tell the president that.
You know, you've been in D.C. for a while. Have you seen leaks like this before in your career?
Well, not to this extent, it seems, in one bunch of, I don't know how many months now it's been.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep track.
Right.
Since this administration took over. But since January 20th, we've seen, and even before that, in some ways, if you want to look at it like that, we've seen significant amounts of leaks. And I let me just speculate, but I think it still all goes back to the president's spats with the intelligence community, with what we've been hearing. There are people probably within the intelligence community who are very upset with this president. He had, during the transition, likened it to Nazi tactics, that kind of thing. He's gotten off to a very bad start with the intelligence community. And his, as a matter of fact, his director of national intelligence, Dan Coats, is going to be appearing at a Senate hearing today, kind of a precursor to Comey's testimony. And Coats is the subject of reports that the president did inquire what he knew about the Russia investigation and about Flynn. So we'll have to see what Coates will, how forthcoming Coates will be with any of those potential conversations.
Speaking of leaks and spats, did the we're hearing that the president had a little bit of a fallout with Jeff Sessions over his recusing himself.
Well, that's the New York Times report, and other broadcasting organizations have been able to at least confirm part of that, that the president was upset with Comey taking himself out of the Russia investigation. But it was a matter of appearances. It would seem to most people that Sessions was a surrogate for the president during the campaign and had a contact or two, I believe, with Russian officials himself.
Right.
And, you know, was involved in the lock her up chants and things like that regarding Hillary Clinton.
Right.
So, you know, but Sessions also, I guess, has gotten some of the president's ire over the what Mr. Trump labeled in his tweet the other day, the watered down version of the temporary travel ban.
Right. So lots of leaks coming out of Washington.
Sure.
Sean Spicer saying that, hey, these tweets that the president puts out, that's official statements. Are we just in a new age right now? We don't know how to handle these tweets. We don't know how to classify them.
Well, it's certainly not part of the normal communications channel strategy. Let's all get on the same page kind of a way of getting the message out there that we've seen from previous administrations. But it is clear, and I've said this probably to you a bunch of times, the president thinks he's his own best messenger. And even when aides, and especially Republicans on Capitol Hill, wish he wouldn't tweet so much, we've seen, you know, the 2 days of tweet storms. And again, this morning, the announcement about the FBI nomination coming from the president's Twitter account, and I haven't even checked it lately, so I'm not sure what else is out there now.
Who knows? We'll take a look at it here in a second. Bob Constantini, we appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right,
we'll talk to you soon. From Washington, D.C., Bob Constantini. WTMA.
It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Good morning. 7 minutes until 9 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Well, we all, you know, it's the summer of Murray. They're having the big Bill Murray Film Festival this summer. I didn't know this, but Bill Murray is quite the singer. Here he is singing Van Morrison's When Will I Ever Learn to Live in God? Listen to this. Admitted, he's no Justin Bieber. but he's doing a pretty good job there. He's got a new album coming out this summer, and he is in tour. That was from a performance that he had in Germany this past weekend. So Bill Murray is kind of doing a little reinventing of himself out there. Good for him. Maybe he'll have a concert here. Let's hope. Let's hope Bill Murray has a concert here. I mean, after all, he lives here. So the president tweeted out just a couple of minutes ago that he was nominating Christopher Wray as a new director of the FBI. This is coming the day before James Comey is supposed to testify before Congress. He went on to tweet out just a few minutes ago, about half an hour ago, getting ready to leave for Cincinnati in the great state of Ohio to meet with Obamacare victims and talk health care and also infrastructure. Now, we learned yesterday that another health care provider for Obamacare, the ACA, has pulled out of Ohio, and that leaves 20 counties in Ohio with zero insurers that have signed up to sell Obamacare. Zero. None. Nada. 20 counties in Ohio where they're not selling Obamacare. Again, this thing is just collapsing under its own weight. They're going to have to come up with some sort of a health care program now just to save everybody who's going to be losing Obamacare. So how many people are losing Obamacare in Ohio now? They say that under the American Health Care Act, 14 million people are going to lose insurance. However, what they fail to mention is where they're getting those numbers from, because only 11 million people are signed up under Obamacare. And I think the vast majority of those people are going to choose not to take their government mandated insurance. You can imagine that. If all of a sudden you didn't have to have car insurance, you no longer had to have car insurance, do you think everybody in South Carolina would keep getting it? Or do you think a lot of people out there, I won't say the majority because a lot of us, most of us are responsible human beings, or do you think people would opt out of getting insurance? Well, you have to have it now and people don't get it. There are people out there driving around right now today without car insurance. So you know as soon as they take that mandate away and they quit threatening to withhold your tax refund, you know a lot of people are going to be dropping that insurance left and right. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Coming up a little bit after 9 o'clock, we're going to be talking with Doug Giles, one of our favorites here on the program, and we're going to be talking about this woman, Reality Lee Winner. She was the one that that leaked that top secret information. Where did she get it? How did she come to get this? Because a person that is in the know sent a letter to a friend of mine over in Augusta, where this all took place over there near Fort Gordon in Augusta. And he said, listen, this organization is so compartmentalized that there is no way that somebody in Department B has any idea what the folks in Department A is doing. So it's a lot of compartmentalization going on in the NSA and the security systems. So for this to be leaked, it had to be one of those things that everybody knew about. As you know, like, you know, our engineer sends out a food truck update once a week. So everybody gets that. So we're not really sure, because what they're saying is there was nothing in this. There was absolutely nothing in this. It said that the Russians may have possibly tried to interfere with our elections, but it didn't say they did it. They didn't say they were successful. It didn't say that, you know, it changed anybody's vote. It doesn't say in anywhere one single shred of evidence that a vote was changed because of this. But yet, since it was still classified, she needs to go to jail. Now, her mother is worried that she's going to be made an example of. I hope so, Miss Winter Davis. What is her name? Yeah, Miss Winter Davis. I certainly hope your daughter is made an example of, because we can't allow this stuff to go on, can continue here in this country. Leaks that are coming out of the NSA right now, and I don't care how mad you are at the president. That doesn't matter to me a bit, how mad you are at the president of the United States because of what he said about the security agencies when he was a candidate. You still have a job to do, and you have an obligation to fulfill. All right, let's see. We got to take a break here, John. We'll do that right now. It's the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA. No, when I said right here, I meant right now. So we got about 30 seconds left. All right, so again, we'll be talking with Doug Giles. And also, the University of South Carolina is going to be looking for a new head baseball coach. We'll give you that that story coming up as Chad Holdbrook has stepped down from the University of South Carolina as their baseball coach. Did I say football? His baseball coach. So the Gamecocks going to be looking for a new person there.
Charlie James in the morning. Stimulating talk all day. WTMA.